Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As you come to worship on any given Lord's Day morning, why, we see people going in separate ways in different directions. Some obviously have no intention of worshiping God in any fashion. They plan to stay away. They plan to either be at home or go boating and fishing and swimming or golfing or traveling or working or shopping, just most anything, but not to worship. Others give the appearance of going to assemble somewhere with somebody to worship God, but even these go in different directions to different churches, believing different things, practicing different forms. If all follow the same Bible and believe in the same God and expect to be saved by the same Christ, why cannot they worship together? Well, some explain that people cannot see the Bible alike, or that they interpret it differently. Friend, we need to be careful with such explanation as that, lest we place the blame for the division and the confusion on God. The Bible was authored by deity. Is he the fault for the religious division? Did he give us a Bible that commands unity, but that prevents it at the same time? 1 Corinthians 13:34 denies God as the author of confusion. And if people cannot see the Bible alike, would not that make God the one to be blamed? Friend, not only can people understand the Bible alike, it is impossible to understand it differently. One may understand and the other misunderstand, and division result. Both may misunderstand differently, and therefore are divided. But when both understand, they will be united. Either that or God and His Bible are the fault. To interpret something simply means to get its meaning. God's Word does not have contradictory meanings. When two people get the meaning, they will be together. Otherwise, the division is God's fault. Religious division and confusion exist because people have added to the Bible. They've taken from it. They've injected their own doctrines. They've followed human traditions and creeds. They've accepted the views of preachers and teachers and clergymen and theologians and religious doctors rather than, "Thus saith the Lord." What people ought to do is to take God's Word and take God at His Word. Many times division is caused because people do not read what God has said. They do not wish to hear the truth. Now I want to demonstrate that to you. Let us consider one passage, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. What does it say? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Friend, this is not a difficult passage. Yet there is hopeless division over it, but without justification. People simply do not hear what God has said. Now some read the passage, "He that believeth and is baptized shall not be saved." Well, who does that? Why, the atheist does, the agnostic, the infidel, the humanist, any and all who deny the reality of God, the reality of Christ, the reality of the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Bible, who deny sin, heaven, hell, eternity, including the need for salvation. They have no use for anything revealed in Scripture except to criticize it and attempt to find fault with it. And that number sometimes seems to be growing. This is why you have more and more people going boating and fishing and golfing and such as that at the worship hour. Such people have never and will never contribute to the moral and spiritual welfare of mankind because they have no basis for such things. Therefore, faith and baptism are meaningless to them. Salvation is foolishness to them. They do not believe anybody will be lost or saved because they think this life is all that there is, and when it ends, that's the complete end. But please take note that their scoffing does not remove the evidence for the very things they deny, nor does it alter the passage one syllable. But some read, "He that believeth not and is baptized shall be saved." Well, who would do that? Well, Roman Catholics do, and others who baptize infants do, because the infants do not believe. They believe infants are born guilty of sin. They actually, of course, do not baptize them, only sprinkle them and call it baptism. Baptism is a burial, Romans 6, 3 and 4, Colossians 2 and verse 12. The very word baptizo means to plunge beneath, to submerge, to bury. In the Bible, baptism included going into the water, coming up out of the water. These people sprinkled infants who cannot believe. They will even practice their rituals over unconscious unbelievers, even unborn children. But faith must precede baptism, according to the Bible. And the doctrine that children are born guilty of sin and totally depraved, it is not from the Bible, but from confused religious minds of men. The soul that sins must bear responsibility, but the child has done no sin. Nor is he capable of being responsible, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. Jesus used the child as an example of those in the kingdom, Matthew 18, 4 and Matthew 19, 4. Just tell me, why would Jesus want us to enter his kingdom and be like a child, if a child is depraved and lost? The doctrine of inherited sin is brutal. It makes God unfair and unjust. It condemns helpless children spiritually because his foreparents violated the law of God. Descendants may well suffer many consequences because of the sins of their foreparents, but the guilty of sin is not one of them. He is not accountable. He is safe. He will remain so until he partakes of sin and evil himself. Baptizing or sprinkling unbelievers? Either one. It cannot change Mark 16:16. Every example of conversion to Christ concludes with baptism. And this doctrine of baptismal generation, that the power is in the water, or even the act of baptism itself, that's not the basis for salvation. That's not biblical. The power is the blood of Christ that saves. But one is baptized to reach that blood, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And to go through some kind of man-made ritual and call it baptism to a person that cannot even believe, friend, that's not what Mark 16:16 teaches. And some read this verse, "He that believeth and is not baptized shall be saved." Why, who would dare rewrite God's word this way? Why, those who teach salvation by faith only, which includes most Protestant denominations. They omit baptism for salvation in spite of Mark 16:16. To them, baptism is optional, not even necessary. Just the first act of obedience, they say, after being saved, or a ritual to join some denomination. Well, you don't read anything like that in the Bible. Contrast that with what Scripture teaches. Peter commanded baptism in Acts chapter 10, verse 48. Is his apostolic command optional? He said, "Baptism doth now also save us," 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. Was he wrong? Did he really mean it? He also commanded, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins," Acts 2 and verse 38. Why did he include baptism, if it's unnecessary? Why did Ananias command Saul of Tarsus to be baptized and wash away his sins if baptism has nothing to do with washing away sins? Acts 22:16. Friend, it is quite obvious that when Ananias told Saul to do that, his sins were not yet washed away. And he was told to baptize, and he was told why. Over and over there are references directing people to be baptized to be saved. And if it's just optional, why do we find these directions in Scripture? Please note that Jesus did not put these knots in the passage like the faith-only people do. Jesus made belief and the baptism conditions of salvation. Wonder why they don't. In fact, every passage in the New Testament where baptism and salvation or its equivalent appear together, baptism always comes first. Does not this mean anything to you? To remove baptism from God's plan and to save man demands that we take away from his word and deny that it is true. This is a serious mistake to commit. And then there are those who say, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Why, who would say a thing like that? Why, everybody that teaches what Jesus taught does that. Mark 16:16 is as simple to grasp as 2 plus 2 equals 4. faith plus baptism equals salvation. That's what Mark 16:16 teaches. And while that, this is not the whole plan, as far as the relationship of faith and baptism is concerned, our Lord made one just as essential as the other. It is not that people cannot see it alike. Of course, some are not even looking at it. Others are not listening. Others close their minds because of their denominational creeds that they followed all the days of their lives. Many are not hearing what the Lord said at all because men have changed it to suit their own ways and their own peculiar denominational dogmas. Oh, but some cry, Jesus did not say that you would be condemned if you were not baptized. For the last part of the verse does not include baptism, does it? And why be surprised at that? You see, friend, just read the passage. The last part of the verse discusses being damned. Now, to be damned, all you have to do is don't believe. That'll settle that. But those who do not believe will not be concerned about repentance or confession or baptism or worship or righteous living or anything else. Nothing matters to them until they believe the gospel. If you believe the gospel, you will not want to be damned. You'll want to be saved. To be damned, just don't believe. That'll take care of your damnation. But if you want to be saved, you must meet the conditions of salvation that Jesus spoke. It depends upon what you're interested in, I suppose. When people want to be saved, they'll follow what the Lord taught in Mark 16:16, and the rest of God's counsel teaching the conditions of salvation, they will obey it. Repentance and confession of their faith in Christ. And then they shall be recipients of God's spiritual blessings. Until they do obey, they will remain lost. Oh, I know some come along here and they baptize. They boast themselves they've been baptized. Why? Oh, it's to join some denomination. A denomination of which you don't read one single word in all the pages of the Bible, because the Bible does not authorize the existence of any denomination that has, does, or shall ever exist, and there's no person on God's earth that can take the Bible and show the justification for the existence of denominationalism. If you think so, try to find it. And some make it harder to be a member of their denomination than the Lord does to be saved according to their false doctrine. Just believe, they say, and that'll take care of salvation. Listen, friend, they say you have to be baptized in order to join their church. Why should I worry about being a part of their church? All I want to do is to be saved. If faith only takes care of that, why do they even bother about baptism? But Jesus taught baptism, didn't he? And he said, if you will hear it, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what are you going to do with it? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.